I'm back.
And, you have the combination.
And I have the combination. Yeah, you have to say that part. Exploding Barrel Podcast for December 3rd, or 2nd, damn. December 2nd, 2016. Close to my birthday, but that next time we do this show, I'll be 30.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So, welcome, everybody. We're going to be talking a little bit about the results of the Game Awards last night and what we thought about the show, just kind of in general. And also, we're going to talk about the new Hearthstone expansion that launched, Meet Suits of Gadgetzan. And AJ's been playing Final Fantasy 15 after our real big Final Fantasy 15 episode last week. Or kind of earlier this week because of the embargo. Went up a little later. But, yeah. So, we didn't actually miss an episode because of that, huh?
That's kind of
nice. Yeah. Even though I was gone.
It was like a weird late sort of deal, but... Yeah,
hey, it worked out.
The numbering lines up.
Yeah, there you go. All right, then. So, what did you think of the show overall, I said, the Game Awards?
Very impressive. I enjoyed it. We've come a long way from... Spike TV and Samuel L. Jackson and Doritos and Mountain Dew.
Now we have Schick Hydro Man.
Yeah, Hydro Man. Whatever. I found that guy who was with him was apparently like a StarCraft II streamer and commentator.
See, I was wondering, like, who is this guy?
People on the know who he is. Okay. We don't.
Yeah, I don't watch a lot of professional StarCraft II play. But,
So, yeah, I mean, you know, it was very similar to last year's show as far as format goes. Yeah, it's well produced. It looks like a sort of Oscars sort of thing. You know?
Yeah, it does actually look like an award show.
It's classy and nice.
Mm-hmm. No real huge game reveals this time, I would say.
Yeah, nothing gobsmacking. Some new Zelda footage, which was fine.
The first one was actually almost better. Then
yeah, I didn't like that like weird cut together Let's Play style thing.
Yeah, they're kind of a big fan of that. Well, the problem was, like, that first one, they showed a lot of, like, cities and stuff, so it was like, we have even more to show later. And I kind of thought, like, oh, what's the possible going to be? It was just them walking around playing more Zelda, really.
Yeah, like, it wasn't showing much.
Yeah, we didn't really see anything super
new. Oh, there's bombs in the game.
Yeah, I think we saw bombs anyways. I think I used bombs when I played it. But, I mean, Zelda looks really good.
Oh, yeah, looks fantastic.
But, like, so, even, like,
curious, they're still playing it on a Wii U.
Yeah, well...
They're not ready to go all in with that Switch stuff yet.
We were kind of talking about this, and you love Mass Effect, but it's just, for some reason, it's hard to get excited about Mass Effect Andromeda.
I don't know what it is. Like, we talked about it. It's not so much the world, it's the characters are what we ultimately liked about the Mass Effect trilogy.
Right.
And so they're all gone.
It's like, yeah, here's these people. And I guess I understand why. I guess that story was quote-unquote done. I still wonder if it might have even just been better instead of Andromeda to just do 100 years later.
Yeah, do the TNG thing.
But the problem is you have that there's all those different endings in Mass Effect 3, right?
Oh, just pick one.
Right, honestly, everyone's like, oh, can you do it? Yeah, you just pick one. Whichever one's whatever. You know,
I don't need you to, or come up with some contrived thing like, what's the race, the nomadic people who have bad immune systems? Tali's one of them.
Oh, yeah.
What's their name?
I forget.
Skip my mind, but like, you know, there's a possibility you could wipe out that whole race. Spoilers. But some survived.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't kill them all. And that's why they're here. Like, that's all you gotta do if that's like what you're really concerned about.
Yeah, it's kind of, yeah. I don't know. Like, even when you see the gameplay, you know, it looks Mass Effect-ish at this point. But it's like the Mass Effect stuff I love, it's not, you know, the combat was actually pretty good in 2 and 3, but like when you see it, it still is... You know, combat, right? It's not like, oh,
yeah,
wow.
They haven't yet shown what makes this, like, the next generational leap for the series. It looks like just higher res Mass Effect.
Right.
Which could be fine. But I told you, I'm feeling the same way about this I did about Dragon Age Inquisition. Like, everyone says it's a great game, and I played it, but I had no compulsion to finish it. I was just like, eh.
I think at the time we all thought Dragon Age Inquisition was a great game. I think it was a good game.
It didn't have a lot of competition when it came out, I think, is part of it.
Right, yeah, no, exactly. It came out a very slow year. The fact that it got Game of the Year consideration is hilarious. If it came out a year later, like, Witcher 3 is just, like, a million times better than
right.
it at doing a similar thing.
Right.
But, yeah, and it's funny when you think about, like, the first Mass Effect trailer for the very first game. It was, like, just showing off, like, talking to somebody and dialogue options. And
yeah, it's like, oh, my God.
Yeah, but, yeah, it's like, you're in a different galaxy, but I see a lot of the same alien species anyways for some
reason. Yeah, I don't, I'm sure there's like a reason for that, but I'm confused.
I thought the whole point was to distance ourselves from, I don't know. It just almost seems like maybe we should have just not done another Mass Effect then. Maybe we should do something new, but...
Well, did you see, I like the one game that was revealed by a bunch of ex-BioWare and Riot guys. It's that four-player, free-to-play kind of fantasy take on a Monster Hunter.
Yeah, I kind of wasn't getting the gist of it just by watching that video.
Yeah, I read a little bit more. They straight up say it's like Monster Hunter. So like a Western take on that could be interesting.
We have confirmation that Telltale's Marvel project is Guardians of the Galaxy.
Which is this weird, bro. Like, it's so weird that, like, right away it's like the rad mix, when everyone knows it's the awesome mix. It's like,
it is kind of immediately like, we are, like,
what? Not quite the real thing, like...
No, exactly. It's like...
Like if you couldn't get awesome mix, don't try to do that gag. Do something else.
Or just show the cassette player without the name of the cassette in it.
Something. Like, there was a way better way of handling that.
This is awkward.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's what
happened. Like, at first thing we thought was like, oh, isn't this like... A little on the nose, there's a little too much like Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, oh, it is Guardians of the Galaxy. But just, like, not really. But, like, besides that, I don't know if there's any... you know, they had, like, the Bulletstorm HD thing with the Duke Nukem guy in it. No other real big, like, announcements of new games. Which was, fine. So let's get into some of the winners. I'm going to kind of go look at anything that piqued my interest. So Game of the Year, we'll start there. It was Overwatch, and I don't think either of us have a problem with that.
No, yeah, I mean, it was always kind of like, is it going to be Overwatch or Uncharted 4? And no disrespect to the game Inside, but if Inside would have won it, I would have been like, really?
I think me and you were both worried Inside would win it. Like I played Inside, it's fine, but God.
Mike, it's got silhouettes. Right.
At the same time, Best Game Direction is Overwatch. That's kind of what it's like. It's like Best Picture, Best Director. It's like, isn't the Best Directed Picture maybe the Best Picture? We don't know.
I guess that's a good way of looking at it. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, like, I think Game Direction is more like outside of the gameplay systems. Like, does it have a good story, good world building, good design? Which it certainly does.
Best Narrative, Uncharted 4, Thief's End.
Duh. Yeah, yeah, again, something else would beat that. I would be like, what?
Best, come on. Best Art Direction is Inside. That was kind of Inside's really, I think that was pretty much their only win was Art Direction.
They're up for a lot of stuff.
They get something. You know, they use silhouettes. So there you go. Best Music, Sound Design, Doom. Was there a game show with a soundtrack that I really liked? I'm just kind of trying to think. I mean, Overwatch's was really good.
Yeah, Overwatch's and Uncharted was pretty good. You can make an argument for Legion.
Yeah, but I guess Doom's was a little bit more unique in an interesting way.
Yeah.
Best Performance, Nolan North as Nathan Drake. It was basically like it was like three people from Uncharted 4 against the two people from Firewatch and then the guy from Mafia 3. Yeah. So.
Did you hear like people talking about his acceptance speech?
Why?
Some people are interpreting it in that he was kind of throwing the striking voice actors under the bus and being like...
Oh, really?
Like, you guys need to shut up because you're not at all the most important part of this. Oh. Like, his speech talked about how...
Yeah, sure, the developer.
The performance is not him, it's the programmers and the coders and the animators and the designers, and he's just, like, the cherry on top. My interpretation, which I don't know if it was right now, but it was like, yeah, like, we need to get, like, better compensation, but don't forget about these guys, too. Like, let's all get ourselves in a better situation.
So, you think he's calling for everyone to unionize?
Not unionize, but just, like... Maybe we shouldn't, like, have 90-hour crunch weeks. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, yeah. Okay, I thought it was a nice speech. I wasn't thinking politically about it, so I don't know. I don't know what he meant by it. Games for Impact, that Dragon Cancer, you know, sure.
It was a moving acceptance speech. Yeah, it was very
nice. Oh, Inside did win Best Independent Game, which is fine. I'm trying... This year, I don't have, like, an Ori that I really liked as far as indie games go. I'm trying to think.
Yeah, I mean, Oxenfree is good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure I'm forgetting something.
Then at that point, you have, like, a bunch of, like, the, sort of just, like, genre awards, right? Like, the best RPG was actually just Witcher 3's expansion, Blood and Wine. That's
funny. Which is funny. Well, what else was up for that? I can't remember. What came out last year?
Well, I would have liked to...
Was Legion in that? Probably.
I don't know. Bravely Second, I think, should get in there, but I don't... JRPGs do not get a whole lot of love at, like, these game awards.
Well, I forgot that came out this year.
Yeah, it was pretty early, but I enjoyed that. I think it maybe serves a little more accommodation than an expansion, but I don't know. Like Final Fantasy XV couldn't be in it because it was after their deadline.
I'm sure it'll get nominated next year.
This one was one of the best action adventure game with the Dishonored 2 and not Uncharted 4.
That's like the one. In a weird way, that's like, do I have to play Dishonored 2 now? I wasn't going to.
Yeah, I guess I haven't played Dishonored 2, but I assume it's Dishonored, and I like Dishonored, but I don't know if it could be better than an Uncharted.
Yeah, for action adventure.
Right. Oh, trending gamer was Boogie.
Yeah, I was happy to see him win.
Which we kind of know is Franklin. He's the guy that does those angry, like, fake rants. They're pretty funny. Yeah, so,
he's an all around good dude.
Yeah, he's a nice guy. So that's my best fighting game is Street Fighter V. I don't think it had a whole lot of competition.
I think like Killer Instinct Season 3. was there another Realm release?
Did a Tekken come out? I don't know. I don't know. Best strategy game Civilization 6 again. I don't know.
Shocker.
Well, maybe Fire Emblem was in that category.
Was that this year?
Yeah, it was.
Wow, gosh.
Fire Emblem could have probably, maybe. I would have been fine with that. But yeah, so yeah, the Game Awards are pretty nice overall. Had no real issues with them.
What do you think of the performance by Slim Jimmy?
They're the same names. That just sounded more and more made up to me. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah. It's a shame that all the musical apps are like... I mean, the Doom thing was cool.
Yeah.
But it's like all like a bunch of hip-hop by like... People know you, like... Do they have anything to do with gaming? I mean, Slim Jimmy and whoever he was with had some arcade cabinets on stage.
Sometimes reaching a little bit towards that. We got to appeal to the hip kids.
Yeah,
thing,
there's still so like a little bit of that. Like again, I say get like some perform like a
those
band
game
up there.
Show,
yeah, do some stuff like that. Like you know, I mean, plenty of games have songs now. You can have a performer come out and sing.
Sure. So there was that. All right. So Meet Shoots of Gadgets in. I found out why we got all those extra
card
packs. Yeah, I
did too, but go ahead, explain it.
Yeah, so we both had the pre-order of 50 cards, but we also both got some like extra cards with our in-game gold. I guess there's an occurrence problem with the tri-class cards showing up more than they should have.
Now, did you notice that happen to
I you? Noticed one specific card I kept getting, and now that makes sense. I got like 8 or 10 Jade Golem, or like the Jade, not Jade Golem, one of the Jade Golem cards, I forget what it was called. So, yes.
It didn't stand out to me in a way like, this is a bug. Like, I thought, like...
Well,
I don't know. Like, I mean, I saw screenshots of people who would, like, open a pack, and it was 5 tri-class cards. That's a bug.
Well, that could happen. I mean, yeah. But, and it's like, when I was talking with a friend who was also opening them, he also had a tri-class card they just kept seeing. So, yes, it makes sense to me now that I hear.
So, they just gave everyone 33% of the total packs they opened mm-hmm. before 5:30 Eastern time, rounded up to the nearest hole. Mm-hmm. So, pretty good make good. I'll take 23 more packs.
I actually did. Even with that bug, I did very well in my first round of cards.
Yeah, you did really well. I mean, I did better than I usually do, but you were like legendary.
I ended up getting like six or seven.
I got like 4 or 5. I got two Ayas.
I crafted an Azakis also, so yeah. Or Kazakis, excuse me. So yeah, then I spent the rest of the day trying to make some decks. It's kind of cool because like, the first thing you have is that quest, where it's like a series of quests that get each time you beat them, you get 2 free card packs, and it's like each of the gangs, and a gang represents 3 of the classes, mm-hmm. so it's like win a game with one of the 3 of these classes.
Yeah.
So that was kind of encouraged you to like, okay, first I'm going to make like you know
handy too that like a good tavern brawl was going on for that too if you didn't have any decks.
Sure. But yeah, so inside, so the grimy goons, that's the paladins, hunters.
Warriors.
And warriors, their kind of thing is that they can buff cards in hand. So that's kind of what the mechanics, especially the tri-class cards, besides the Discover one, kind of revolve around. The Cabal are the potions people,
mm-hmm.
and the Cabal is all the big spellcasters, the mage, priest, warlock, and then the Jade Lotus, that's a druid, rogue, shaman. They have the Jade Golems, which are like these minions you summon off of spells and other minions, and each time you summon a minion, it gets... slightly better stats. That seems to be the most powerful one to me. It's obviously way too early to tell.
Yeah, it's the most fun.
Yeah, it is fun.
Those are the two decks I've created so far have been a Shaman and Rogue Jade the Golem decks.
Yeah.
And finding a lot of synergy because a lot of the cards that summon Jade Golems are Death Rattle. So Barnes is a good card to have in these decks. Same with, there's a new, for my Rogue, it's an epic where you choose a minion, put a 1/1 copy of it in your hand that costs 1. So again, that's like almost like a soft Barnes in a way.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good stuff like that. What have you been making?
Well, I went with Druid for my Jade Lotus deck, and his are actually mostly battle cries that trump some of them. So I had a Brand in there. And, like, just doing that with any of them is great. To get,
oh, yeah, but brand battle, that's going to go away, though.
Well, because it's... What?
That's going to go away.
Oh, yeah, but right now it's not.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it is interesting how... when you play a Jade Lotus, it's not really just that one minion you're getting. It's the fact that all future minions are going to be more powerful now.
Yeah,
you know?
if you can manage to get to, you know, the fourth or sixth. Yeah, like, right? Like getting, like, a free 4-4 minion is pretty good.
Yeah, just Gerald, if you can, like, get, like, three of those out by the time you use Aya, which is the one that summons one on a Battlecry and Death Rattle. And, like, I forget what her stats are. They're fine. But then, like, it's, you're like, also going to...
It's, like, 4-3. Right. You're not, like, not crazy.
But, yeah. But then if she's also summoning a 4-4 once you play her, and then when she you die at 5-5, or, you know, even better, that's crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah. Those decks seem pretty good. Besides that, I've taken some of my decks and just kind of snuck some of the newer cards in there. I had a Secret Hunter deck, and I just kind of threw in a couple of the new Hunter cards. Nothing too crazy, like a new secret, like that can, like, buff people when it's played or something like that.
The grimy goons are the least appealing to me, just because a lot of the buff a minion in hand, it's RNG. Like, yeah. You can't decide who's going to get buffed.
Right.
So it's very luck dependent.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of that's going to really take off too much. I don't think
you're not going to see new archetypes in those three classes.
No, I don't think so. I think that Pirate Warrior seems to be maybe something that's going to take off.
Yeah, there are some nice new pirate cards.
So that'll be fine. I think Hunter is still going to just play that mid-range Secret Hunter. I think Paladin might still be a little bit out of luck this expansion.
Mm-hmm.
Although I have a Dragon Paladin deck that I like, and the only card I just put in was that Rathion, which just draws cards until you don't draw a dragon. And that, you know, is kind of fun, and it's just been, you know, having about the same level of success with that deck. Again, but it's hard to tell on that first day when everyone's just kind of trying stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And all that. For the Cabal, when I did that quest, I made a mage deck. And I like how there's all these new, like, if your deck has no duplicate archetypes. So, you know, you take a Reno deck, so you already have that card that'll heal you completely. But now I have this, you know, I have that one that makes the custom potion, which you always pick the 10 mana one. So at turn 10, you just play this, like, super, like, board clear, but also heal yourself kind of a, you know, or whatever you choose for it to be. And then there's also that one, it's a 5 mana card. If you have no duplicates, your next spell is free. So you can play a Flame Strike on turn 5 or a Pyroblast on turn 5 or, you know, any of these kind of high cost. Or if you got the Kazaka's Potion already, you can turn that on, play that on turn 5.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that kind of deck archetype is really cool. I think it's going to take a little bit for somebody to, like, come up with, like, the ideal composition for it. But that's another one, too. And once Reno's gone, are those other two effects good enough to justify not having duplicates in your deck and having, you know, a lot less... sort of, you know.
I think so. I
don't know.
There's more than just those heroes who have, like, the whole, if you have no duplicates, this thing
I think all
happens.
The Cabal have one card like that.
Yeah.
For Warlock, it's you summon all of the demons, is either in your hand or in your deck. I can't remember. I think maybe just in your hand.
In your hand, yeah. I have that card.
Yeah. Hey, Penny. And then Priest is pretty. Priest, you can use your hero power for free for the rest of the game, and at least right now, and again, it's another one that'll go away with the standard cycle, if you play just a card True Heart at any point, you can heal for 4 mana or for 4 health for free every turn.
Especially
at that point.
Then there's the other card that lets you use your hero power as much as you want.
Right.
Well, can you imagine?
Right.
Play that and just heal yourself.
But that's a mage card though, so you can maybe discover it.
Yeah, that's true. That is a mage card. But yeah, you could discover.
But there is a possibility of discovering that and using, like, one of those things that lets you.
You wouldn't even need Jeskar at that point.
No, if you could do one of those things that you can damage instead of heal, you would actually just win.
Wow.
But you would need to.
Get real lucky. Oh, wouldn't that be some shit, though?
And you might, and there is a time limit, so you would actually have to push, like, the hero power fast
start
enough.
Casting real fast.
Yeah, it'd be funny.
Oh,
yeah.
That'd be so
funny.
I am
looking forward to that highlight.
Yeah, I'm sure Kriparian's going to try and make that video.
Yeah,
that's real funny. I like that. So, again, what I like about this spin, it's very imaginative.
Yeah.
The tri-class cards are really cool. I like that whole concept of discovering the cards from your similar classes.
Mm-hmm.
The art on these cards is fantastic.
Yeah, it more so than it. Almost any other expansion, this is much more just, like, stuff they've come up with. It's not really, like, there are some characters, I think, from, like, the original Gadgetzan in the game, but not,
like,
many.
Mayor Noggle, Foggum.
Yeah, but not many.
I hope to see, like, this stuff come to the game. Like, it'd be cool to get, like, a Mean Streets of Gadgetzan patch.
Yeah.
And WoW that, like, builds up the city, puts in these factions, and gives you some quests.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there are some things, like, there's, like, these pigs that are, like, sentient bike riders. I'm like, where do these pig people come from? Warcraft. Like, how many sentient races are there in Warcraft that just look like animals? Like, come on.
All kinds.
There's too many.
All kinds.
too many.
Takes all kinds to make a world, Mike.
I guess so. But yeah, I'm enjoying it. I'm excited to kind of mess around with some more cards and see what kind of sticks with the meta. See if, like, you know, again, I think Pirate Warrior might be a thing. We'll see if Dragon Priest is going to be as strong as people think it's going to be. People think Rogues didn't get many cards. I think they might be okay anyways, just because the Jade Lotus thing is so good. And they those.
I mean, my Rogue deck, I'm realizing I need more AoE, which I kind of failed to put in the deck, so I got to tweak it still.
Well, that's kind of a problem with that Class Zero, is that there's not a lot of AoE. Yeah, you have Phantom Knives.
Yeah, if you have Phantom Knives, the thing, isn't there the one, like, destroy your weapon?
And that got nerfed at one point, too. It's not very good.
Oh, I'd forget.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, that's what's killing me. I'm going up against a lot of Warlocks.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they all using, you know, stealth minions, sure. That damn Death Steed.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Yeah, that thing's a pain in the ass.
Yeah, not much you can do against that guy, except unless you can, like, entomb him or something like that.
Yeah, but again, like, a Rogue doesn't really have great removal. Yeah. I can sap him, but then he just comes back the next turn.
Yeah.
But yeah, so all in all, very good.
Very fun.
I didn't mind getting 24, 23 free decks of cards.
I said, I didn't really, like, I noticed I was getting a specific card a lot, and it occurred to me that, like...
It was a bug.
Yeah, so I was like, just like, why do I have 25 more card packs? Oh, okay. Hey, sure. So you've been playing Final Fantasy 15 now, which was a little surprising to me. I didn't know if you would bother picking this up. You did not express very much interest in it. You're not a huge fan of this series, or really very Japanese games in general.
I love it.
That's funny.
I really, really like it. So let me explain why. Because, you talked about it a lot last week, but let me talk about what it appeals to me. So this game does a few things that I've been waiting for games to do for a long time. I love the fact that you have these three party members with you who, they act on their own. I don't have to, like, set up weird gambits or whatever for them. Like, you know, they're just going to do the right thing most of the time. But the way they organically interact with you during combat, where, like, you're tossing weapons to each other and flipping over each other and dual striking and... Mm-hmm. All because, like, everyone's just in the right position, so it just happened.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is so
fun. It's a very kind of organic and,
it
like...
It is. It's so fun.
Fluid, like, combat thing, yeah. Where you're not
I
just,
don't
like...
know why it took so long for that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, the best way I could describe it is, like, you know how, like, Batman's combat feels so fluid and organic because of the way it's, like, well animated?
Yeah.
They just kind of did that with three other people.
Makes sense, yeah.
Yeah. It's fantastic. And it doesn't play like Batman.
But that's what's, that's what's cool, too, is that it doesn't... Like, so many of these games now play, like, Batman or God of War.
Yeah, I like that it's not a button masher.
No, it's not at all.
You hold down the attack, you're going to do your combo. Much like you said, much more dependent on your defensive abilities. Did you play with a weight or active system?
I just played with active.
Yeah, I'm using weight.
I know some people like it.
Well,
but...
here's my biggest gripe with the UI. You can assign an ability to all your characters, but only one at a time.
Yeah.
But there's nothing that stops you from going into the game menus in the middle of a fight and switching them.
And that's not very quick to do.
No, but it's smart to do. Sure. You know, if you need to get Ignis's ability to just heals your party, you're going to go do it. I just don't understand why they couldn't, like, let you have multiples and, like, you just keep tapping the button. Then when you release left bumper, it casts the one you have highlighted.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Like, there were ways to manage that better.
That's true. Yeah, I see that.
But having weight turned on, it makes it a little easier to manage all that because you just stop and okay, let's pick our spell.
Does it feel
now.
Slightly more like a JRPG when you have weight time on, or does it just
a
feel
little
different?
Bit. The one thing I wish they tweak is like when you get that last blow on the enemy, it still thinks you're in combat. So you're like, okay, fight's done. Oh, I gotta like slowly walk around until the fight's done, just so that weight stops taking over. The other thing I like, too, like, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, it's just, like, four dudes. But I like that they all like each other.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Like, there's no snark, like, or, like...
There's, like, some teasing.
There's teasing, but it's not, like, no one's there because they don't want to be. They're all there because they're genuinely good friends. Their buddy's going to get married. They got to help him get there.
Yeah. It's funny because it doesn't even, like, throw it in your face how these people all know each other.
No, but you just, right away from you just get like, oh, okay, these guys are, like, all bros.
Yeah, they're
like,
friends.
That's fun.
Whatever, you can.
You know, there's something about, like, those little mini scenes where you set up camp or go into a camper for the first time. You're like, that's what me and my friends do. Like, this is great.
We're now at a point where Uncharted is influencing Final Fantasy. And it's that incidental dialogue, right? Where
you're
walking around, people are talking to each other.
It's constant. It's wonderful.
Right.
I really, really like it.
Yeah, that's great when you're driving around or just walking. Even, like, even every time you accept a quest, Like, after you're done, like, your friends will have something to say about it. Yeah. Like, oh, we're doing this.
I love the thing they do before some fights where they're like, okay, hang on, I got an idea. And then, like, that's where you get, like, your bonus objectives. Yeah. Like, do so many link attacks or things like that. Or, you know, start this fight from a vantage point. And it's like, but, like, the way they animate it, where, like, everyone, like, huddles up and talks amongst themselves. Like, oh, this is so good.
Now, are you still, like, on that first third slice of the map?
Have you that's the next thing I gotta do is the quest to unlock the next area.
Yeah, I think you're pretty close.
I'm strangely taking my time. Yeah. This game, it's paced. Again, part of why I like it, its pace feels very similar to Skyrim. Mm-hmm. Again, not gameplay-wise at all, but pacing.
Right. You could spend a whole sessions not doing anything main quest.
Right, which I like. It's just got that, you know, go out in the world and explore kind of vibe to it.
And because there are so many side quests and kind of extra things you can do, like, I beat the game. Usually when I beat a Final Fantasy, I'm done. You know, I beat it, whatever. Like, I'm still playing this.
The fact that you did that is shocking. Yeah, I still do not do that.
No, I don't.
You didn't even play The Witcher 3 DLC.
No.
Which, like, is another game.
Yeah, it's like, all right, I beat Witcher, whatever. Yeah, but here I'm like, I kind of want to get some other stuff. And I hear there's, like, this really cool secret dungeon you can do after beat the game. I want to see that. I want to get the rest of these weapons and stuff like that.
So it does have, like, a continuation to keep playing, or are you using, like, a save file right before the final boss?
Save file after the final boss, actually, which is
That's nice. Good. Yeah. Nice! Oh, right? My God, they did something smart!
Right?
That's the thing. There's still a few weird little Japanese-isms that, like, I'm like, they have to do it that way. But on the whole, this feels so smart to me in so many ways.
And even when, like, there's a point where, like, you're on a series of quests where you're away from the open world map for a while, but if you go to a safe point, you can still just teleport back to the open world and do things there.
Yeah,
and
it's like they're, like, reliving the past.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a flimsy excuse, but it's an excuse so you can do it. It's like, whatever.
Which is good.
There's no point where you really have to worry about, oh, no, I didn't do that side quest. Now I can't do it. Like, you'll be able to do it. So.
Yeah, they kind of, like, scared me, because the first time you're confronted with, like, are you sure you want to go? You may not be back for some time. Yeah. Some time was 10 minutes. I'm like, yeah, I mean, I'm like, I saw that. I was like, oh, shit. I went and did, like, all the hunts I could do. And then I was like, I just came right back where I was 10 minutes later. I didn't need to do that.
But it's all right.
Yeah, it leveled me up before a not hard segment, but maybe that's why it wasn't hard, because I was over-leveled.
Yeah, you know, you'll have that. Yeah, it's even when you, like, are quote-unquote underleveled or overleveled, it still comes a lot more down to mechanics than just, like,
my stats going. Again, which I like. Stats are obviously helpful, but a lot of it comes down to, you know, your ability. Where stats are important is, obviously, your AI teammates are kind of on their own. Yeah. So them being leveled for the situation is good.
So the nice thing, once you get the open world bigger, is I think a lot of the more prettier sites are in, like, that middle and left section. Yeah. You see.
This game on my Xbox One S, nice. HDR.
It definitely does look nicer than it does on just my regular PlayStation 4. That's for sure.
Yeah.
I do wonder what it looks like on a PlayStation 4 Pro.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I was watching Digital Foundry's overview. The problem with all the PlayStation versions is frame stuttering, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
On just regular PS4, it's running at 1080p, but the frame rate's a little inconsistent. Now, on the Xbox, it's running at 900p with a variable resolution, but the frame rate's locked at 30. Like, it doesn't move.
I think I would sacrifice that.
Yeah. On the PS4, you have two choices. Either light mode, where it's just that 1080p 30, which I don't understand, like, what benefit that has. And then there's a high mode, which it's not 4K, but it's like that weird slightly higher than 1080 up-res thing with some enhanced effects. But again, the frame rate's a little wonky. Apparently Square Enix has said they might look into doing a mode where it's like light mode but uncapping the frame rate so it can go up to 60, which would be interesting.
Yeah.
It's weird that, like, consoles are getting into, like, that's... I don't know how I like all this. I don't like having a choice in consoles.
Yeah, I know.
I want to play the game!
Yeah.
That's why I bought it on a console. We'll see.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, again, as a guy who's like, Final Fantasy, whatever, like, this game is shockingly good.
And I'm kind of surprised how many, like I know Jeff Parsons playing it, like, a lot of people who I don't know, I didn't think would maybe get into this, or maybe people...
Well, because, I mean, in a way, it's not really a JRPG in the way you think of it. There's no turn-based battles, you're not too...
Right.
Parties lined up
and on sides. I tell you what, I like Terpy Files. I don't miss it as much as I thought I would. As long as it is this kind of it's not just Kingdom Hearts or God of War or whatever. Mm-hmm. It still feels tactical or what have you. And it's not even just like, you know, SWTOR even. It's its own thing.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking about this. Like, I think it'd be awesome if, like, a Final Fantasy 16 was just a very similar combat and party system, but, like, a more traditional fantasy setting. Not that I mind Final Fantasy 15 setting. I think
yeah, that would be cool. Like, you're right.
But that would be cool to, like, see, like, this taken to, like, a super... Like, it was cool that we did one that was, like, a little further away from those tropes, but it would be cool to see one now where it's, like, here's it castles back. And, yeah. you know, knights and...
Well, 10 years from now, we... Right. 10 years. That's so weird, Mike. You weren't even 20 yet when this game was announced.
It was crazy.
Isn't that weird?
It's something because there's that the main theme, which is an awesome song. It was in that first trailer for the game that came out 10 years ago, and it also like very shortly after was on the composer Yoko Shimomura's like one of her best of albums. She just put it on there too. Like, well, this song will be out soon. So I've been listening to that song for like 10 years.
Right.
And it's like now it's something. In a game. Yeah. Like, oh, here it is. But yeah, I'm glad that. Because I was liking it, but you know, when you're reviewing a game, it's always this weird experience because you're like living in your own bubble. You're like, I don't know what
anyone else thinks about it. Yeah.
It seems I'm glad that people are kind of on board with it, and I hope it does well and that we'll get more Final.
I know, Conan O'Brien might have ruined its chances. Yeah,
Conan O'Brien killed JRPG.
In other news, it's the fastest selling Final Fantasy game ever.
Yeah. Well, that might be held just by the fact that it was a worldwide launch, which is strange. Remember back when like
yeah, you had to wait a year.
Like part of the reason why, we never got Final Fantasy 2 and 3, just that it took them so long to
translate
1 that by the time it happened, like, 4 was coming out. Like, we'll just move on to that. So, yeah, now it's just like, yeah, whatever. So, cool. All right, anything else you want to talk about before we call it here?
No.
No, all right.
Then. I don't think so. All right, I think we're good.
All right, well, I mean, I was in Disney, but there's not a whole lot to really say.
Get into some new things. Later. We can talk about that later. Yeah, yeah. I'm sure we'll need some filler as we get into the quiet part leading up to Christmas.
Yeah, we got. Yeah.
Are you getting Last Guardian?
Yeah, I'll get Last Guardian. I like those games. I know you don't care too much.
All right, we'll see. You need to finally play Titanfall 2.
Yeah, I'm going to play that campaign. That so bad. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for listening to the Explain Barrel podcast, everybody. You can find more of us at ebpodcast.com. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter. Be sure to go to the iTunes Music Store and the Google Play Store and leave us a review. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time right here on the Exploring Girl Podcast.
Bye-bye.